message in this series. We talked about the fights that you and I have not been called into. One of the things we need to be very, very careful of is when people try to sidetrack us away from the gospel. That Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus delivers, Jesus baptizes in the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is coming again, not to get off on fairy tales or genealogies or weird prophecies. Be very, very careful about prophetic utterances in the day and age that we live in. Prophecy is great. I am a firm believer in prophecy because the Bible tells us it is the greatest gift, but it's also, I believe, the most abused gift in the body of Christ. We'll actually be talking a little bit about that on our Wednesday night Bible study, which, by the way, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're doing verses 1 and 2. We started verse 1 last week, and we'll be in verse 2 this week talking about what an apostle is. But to get back to our message this morning, so be careful of foolish arguments that amount to nothing but bring controversies and divisions, and usually come by high-minded, high-sounding people who have no spiritual depth. We're also to be very, very careful about philosophical arguments. You know, the world, in its thinking and its wisdom, which is against God, the preaching of the cross is foolishness to the world, but it's the power of salvation to you and I who believe. You have to be very, very careful in engaging in and searching out and researching philosophical arguments, because they are coming, for the most part, from the place that there is no God. And although there are ministers and ministries who are called to deal with that, if you're not grounded in the faith, you can, number one, look very, very foolish. Because let me tell you, people who are schooled in philosophical arguments against the Lord Jesus Christ, many times they know their stuff better than we know the Word of God. And they can make believers look very, very foolish. And remember, and I don't want to re-preach last week's sermon, but I think this is really important. All we are called to do as ambassadors of Christ is to plant the seed of the Word of God. Amen? And let God take over, because it's supernatural seed. Amen? And that's all God needs. And we don't have to get into, you know, how many angels dance on the head of a pin. And I'm not, that is a philosophical argument, but it's a dumb one. So we talked about that. But what I would like to talk about this morning is, what are the things that we need to fight for? I mean, no sense in getting in an argument over something stupid. Ever do that with your spouse? Or, you know, your I'm not saying anything. Or, you know, your kids. Hold yours, George. Your kids are master manipulators, and they'll, you know, if you want to talk to them about something, they're really good. I was really good, or at least I tried to be really good. About changing the subject and talking about, I know, George, you would never do that. But there are things that we need to be willing to fight for, that there is a necessity to fight for. And not only a necessity to fight for, there are things that it's a necessity to die for. And these are the things that God has called us to do. Now, the first thing I'm going to share, it sounds like, and Bob, I'm going to drop all the way down to the Proverbs scripture. So there's, because this is, I'll change the PowerPoint next week, but the Proverbs scripture. Last week I talked about don't get involved in foolish arguments, or don't get involved, I didn't mention this, but let me mention it again. Don't get involved with those who will try to exploit you for their own personal gain. by sensationalizing different things and using the gospel to make money. And there's plenty of those people who are out there. But having said that, on the other side, good teaching and good doctrine is good doctrine is something that you and I need to fight tooth and nail for. Kind of the conundrum we're in, and I'll explain, try to explain what this verse mean in relation, or these two verses mean in relation to the point I'm trying to make, is kind of the double-edged sword of false teaching. And this is from Proverbs chapter 26, verse 4, where the writer of Proverbs says, "Do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you'll also be like him." So what this verse is saying is when foolishness comes your way, avoid it. Don't spend any time with it. You're wasting your time and his, because I think one of the hardest, and if you read the book of Proverbs in its entirety, and it's something you should do on a regular basis, I'm not saying you need to do it every month, but at least once a year. One of the hardest people to convince of godliness, righteousness, and wisdom is a fool. Yep. And we're not, we shouldn't call anyone a fool, but a lot of people by their words and their actions, according to Proverbs, demonstrate that they are fools or foolish. And they're a hard nut to crack. And that's what this verse is saying. Don't answer a fool according to his folly. When I think of a fool, I think of, and some of you might not be familiar with the term, I think of what's known as an internet troll. Anyone know what an internet troll is? George, I know you did. What an internet troll is like on Facebook or on a news story where they have comments, they will put an inflammatory comment underneath a story or underneath someone's Facebook post, not necessarily because they believe it or not, but they do it because they know they'll get a rise out of people who are reading it and get them all upset and going. And when people do that, they fall. When they see that, how can you say that? And you're wrong for saying that. And they get all upset. They're playing right into the trap of the troll. Because the troll's not, he doesn't even care about what the issue is. His goal is just to get people all upset. And that's what you and I need to avoid. But then let's go ahead and read verse 5, Proverbs 26. "Answer a fool as his folly deserves, that he be not wise in his own eyes." So on the one hand, we're not to answer a fool. And on the other hand, we are to answer a fool. And how does that specifically relate to what we're talking about today? Is this one of those scriptures where the Bible supposedly contradicts itself? Not in the least. As far as ourself, when foolishness comes your way, you need to put it aside. But having said that, and again, there are two, and this fight we're fighting, it's a three-dimensional fight that we're fighting. Number one, we're fighting for our own personal faith, that we not only maintain our faith, but our faith maintains its purity in Jesus, its scriptural purity. But number two, we're also fighting for the faith of the church. And when I say church, I'm certainly talking about the local church body. That's a big part of my job. It is keeping out, you know, false teachings that focus on man or focus on you know, money or other things that don't relate to the gospel or are twists or perversion of the gospel. And there's some people who are always bad-mouthing other preachers. My approach usually, although sometimes you got to name names and say things plainly, my usual approach is preach the truth over and over again so that people will recognize false teaching when it comes. But we've got to fight for the faith within the body of Christ because, and not just people who are in this building, But you know, your brother and sister in Christ is anyone and everyone who has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord. That means the believers you work with or who your neighbors or your family members or maybe don't go here, you are your brother's keeper. And so not only are you fighting for your own faith, you are fighting for theirs as well. And so it is important that for your family, for this church, for the body of Christ, that we what? We do what Paul is instructing Timothy to do and warn them about a silly argument, a bad argument. We'll talk about the different. Or bad, silly teaching, bad teaching, evil teaching, greedy teaching, or exploitive teaching that might be out there. And then the two people, two groups of people that we need to be especially protective of and warn is number one, the new believer in Jesus, where everything's brand new. And today, you know, back in the day when people came to Jesus because there was prayer in school, because they taught the Bible in school, because they went to a church and at least they heard the scriptures, they were at least familiar with a lot of what we preach and teach in a born-again, spirit-filled, baptized, gospel-believing and preaching church. But we don't have that today. We have a generation that didn't grow up in church, that know very little about the Bible, don't know much about Jesus, don't have any scriptures. The only scriptures that they might know are titles to books or movies that use scriptural references, and that's the extent of their biblical knowledge. And they are prey to the enemy and to those who would try to exploit, confuse, or shipwreck their faith. Let me tell you another sad group of people that we need to fight for. And that's the people who refuse to deepen their relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only in growing in the Spirit. You know, we're talking about on Wednesday night, we're studying the Corinthian church. And the Corinthian church was a spirit-filled church. It was a church. If you wanted to experience the power of God, see the power of God moving, you wanted to go to that church. Paul said regarding that church, you lack no spiritual gift. In fact, they had so many spiritual gifts, worship became chaotic. And not because God is chaotic, but, you know, people just get carried away. But they are also, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, a very shallow church who didn't invest their hearts and lives in the scriptures and the teachings of the apostles and become grounded in their faith so that they wouldn't get swayed by silly doctrines that would come their way. And we need to fight for those people. And of course, without question, we are fighting for people who don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior. As I mentioned, it's God, and it is 99.9999% to infinity God. But there is a role, a human role, in people receiving and growing in Jesus, and that is the transmission or the sharing of the gospel, and of course, fervent prayer for lost people. And there's so much junk that is out there. I mean, you want to hear the junk of the world? Some of it's good, but most of it's junk. Listen to a TED Talk. They're really popular, and a lot of pastors reach them, but a lot of it's just secular humanism. And what TED Talks they are, they're like little 5-10 minute speeches that motivational speeches that people give, and on a wide variety of different topics, and people eat them up, but it's not God, it's not Jesus. It's not the gospel, and it doesn't set people free. So we need to fight for that. And there is a call in at least two areas or two scriptures in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy 1:3, as I urged you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines. So on the one hand, we don't enter into when people are teaching, you know, off the wall things. But secondly, we confront them. Hey, you can't teach that here. You can't teach that the resurrection is past. You know, and even in there's some fringe, extra biblical doctrines that we've got to be very, very careful as Pentecostals. Because we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the prophetic word. We believe in revelation. But like we talked about Wednesday night, listen, if what you're teaching and preaching is not built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, which is the Old and the New Testament, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, it's garbage and shouldn't be listened to. And yet it enters in the church under new special revelation. When that junk comes in, it needs to be confronted and stopped in the name of Jesus. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 and verse 6. But the Spirit explicitly says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Demonic teachings entering the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, if Satan, I'm actually getting a little ahead of my notes, but just bear with me. Listen, if Satan has the gall to tempt Satan himself, Jesus himself, on more than one occasion, the Bible says after the temptation in the wilderness, he departed for a season. And if he sent a messenger to torment Paul, do you not think he is coming against not only the church that Timothy was talking about, but actually Paul is talking about the end time church, which I believe is a church right now. Don't you think the enemy is going to come across and try to infiltrate his church with false teaching? Let me tell you, the last people I'm worried about, I'm not worried about the Muslim or the Buddhist or the Hinduism as far as infiltrate, well, a little bit, because Eastern mysticism is entering the church, but another message for another time. But I'm not as worried about them as I am about others who would pervert the gospel. And we'll talk exactly about that. Who have been demonically inspired. And the thing that's dangerous about that, according to the book of 2 Corinthians, is that Satan, when he introduces through a teacher in the church or a popular Christian bestseller, and I think I told you about one not too long ago, one that was from a Christian minister, sold in the Christian area of a bookstore, and all it was New Age garbage. 95-98% New Age, 1% Jesus is mentioned in there. Christian books, and even Christian television. Sometimes I see, and I don't watch a whole lot of it because I hate Christian I don't hate Christian television. But I hate the junk that's on there. There's a lot of, don't get me wrong, there's a lot of good teachers and preachers, but sometimes I see what's coming out of some of these Christian television stations or Christian programs that are on other stations. And I think to myself, what is the standard that these men and women of God have to allow these preachers to come on and teach, because they're not preaching the gospel? They're not preaching and teaching the word of God. They're teaching anything but. God, forgive us. And we're called to fight against those things and to fight for the genuine faith that we have in Jesus, the genuine gospel message that Jesus saves, Jesus heals, Jesus baptizes, and Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
The types of false teaching, I alluded to them earlier very quickly. There's, of course, just the foolishness, people who really don't are carried away by their pride and who are not humble in their hearts before the Lord Jesus Christ in order to sound lofty and wise, chased after the foolish fables and stories. Paul puts it this way in I think 1 Timothy 4, verse 4. Don't pay attention to myths and endless genealogies which give rise to mere speculation rather than the furthering administration of God, which is by faith. Then, as I mentioned, there are demonically inspired teachings. And let me tell you, I've seen it in across the whole spectrum of Christianity. But let me tell you that even though we're spirit-filled, I've seen plenty of this teaching within the born-again, Pentecostal, charismatic church. And it's in the form of works. Because the most demonically inspired teaching there is within the body of Christ isn't, Christians standing around on a pentagram crying out to Satan or animal sacrifices are doing. Obviously, it's not doing those things. It's for men and women of faith to leave salvation by grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ and to begin to believe and embrace the teaching that you can be good and justified and blessed in the eyes of God if you do good things. And this teaching has very seemingly innocently weaved its way, especially into care. Well, it's in other areas. Social gospel churches are definitely ensconced in that, but I can only speak from a Pentecostal perspective. It has brought many believers in the Spirit-filled church under bondage because we have taught them that, you're not experience the Holy Spirit or experience a breakthrough or receiving, these different blessings, this is a big one, different blessings in your life because you're not giving enough, you're not praying enough, you're not serving enough. And if you do enough of these different things, God will bless you. That's not the gospel. Yeah. Now, hear me when I say this. I am not saying that God has not created us for good works. He certainly has. And if we love God, we'll keep His commandments. But what I am saying is if we think God will reward me because I pray, and this is a pride thing, I pray, usually when you think you pray a lot, I pray more than that guy. How come that guy is getting blessed and I'm not? We think God will bless me because I pray more, I read more, I serve more, I do more. This is not according to me. According to the Apostle Paul, in the book of Galatians, you have embraced another gospel, a satanic gospel. Paul puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 13. You can do all the good works in the world. But if you're not living the way God has called you to live as a person of faith, hope, and love, it's nothing. But I have heard over and over again that preached in Pentecost.
Pentecostal churches, you just need to pray more, you need to do this more, you need to do that more, and then you'll experience a breakthrough. That's not... If you focus on loving God, loving your neighbor, trusting God, hoping in God, all those other things will fall into place. Including, as far as blessing and breakthrough, provision in your life.
We do so by faith, which is them that come to God must believe that He is, and He rewards those who diligently seek Him. The second good fight that I'd like to share with you, and this is the last one today. I won't get to the third one. We'll do that next week. Or maybe we'll end right here. We did that one for the first service, but we'll do the next two next week because I think we're just having a hard enough time wrapping our minds around the one by going in a complete different direction. I will say this about next week. We're going to break two taboos. The two taboos are religion and politics. We always talk about religion. Next week we talk about politics. But in all seriousness today, it is important that you and I do what we can to fight the good fight of faith. The message of Jesus and Christ alone. Not allow ourselves to get sidetracked. Not allow ourselves to get deceived. Not allow ourselves to get shipwrecked. Let me tell you regarding works. You want to break someone's spirit and cause someone to be frustrated and dejected in Christ, is that when they're having a difficult time, rather than encouraging them to have faith, loving them, and giving them hope, saying, well, you know, you're just not praying enough. And that has been, and I'm not saying anything against prayer, and let me tell you, you need to pray. If you're not praying, you're going to have a very difficult time in your Christian walk. You need to spend time with Jesus. But again, it comes out of life. Well, let me tell you, if you just kind of, you're just not doing this enough, or you're just not doing that enough, and you can just kind of slough them off, that person is going to be so frustrated and so dejected that unless God intervenes, they're just going to give up on faith altogether. I've heard it time and time again. I tried Jesus and it didn't work. And most likely it's because they had a satanically inspired, works-based theology where if I just live the right way, everything will happen. In fact, the second half of that is this. If I do everything right, then God will bless everything that I do. I don't have to ask for a show of hands to say how many is that work for? Nobody! That's not the gospel. It's not what it's about anyways. Our life is a living sacrifice before God. Let's stand this morning. And before we close, you can go ahead and... Before we close... The message in a word prayer. We want to open up for a time of prayer afterwards. So we're going to sing, O Come to the Altar. And let's just allow the Lord Jesus Christ, as we sing this, and this is usually a salvation song that we sing. But you know, I think as believers, as we continue to move forward in Jesus, and all these different things are trying to kind of creep into our faith and our understanding in the Lord, we need to be brought back to the simplicity of the gospel once again. Amen. Let's sing together in the name of Jesus.